I keep turning. We keep starting him.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that he is duped by his Marxist reading back in the 40s. He really is kind of a leftist. He uses those categories. He's warning us about going into fascism. And that's silly. We were fascists in 1947 with the National Security Act. The thing is, we're going into more complexity, which requires more surveillance and more use of computers, and it's way more... You'll call it fascism. You call it full use of all the electronic digital media we got. If we got them, we're going to use them. So wait until September 11th for the FBI to get their new surveillance mandates and start buying their equipment to expand the industries, right, of spying. But it's way beyond the term fascism. I mean, and this is where you guys come in. They say, well, what are you white guys? It's going home to roots, man. You're going to have fascism. We've had fascism since 1885, right, for the ghettos. But it's not even, that is an alibi that the blacks bring in for not understanding what's going on. Just like he has the alibi of the bugaboo of fascism. Okay, I just want to get that on tape, do you wonder?
Yeah, you missed this part, Evan, but earlier he said, remember when he said that when he was in his Marxist mode, yeah. You know, he thought... He sort of believed in the notion that the individual was sort of subservient to the greater good. That
Did he say that?
Yeah, he said it wasn't until Kennedy became president that he then felt that the individual could become greater, and you know, as an individual, you could be important. Now that would be the time when we were moving into
the satellite.
Right.
Kennedy is not, his attitude is the satellite effect through the rearview mirror of television.
Right.
He's blurred image, charismatic, but he's actually the doing your own thing, the individual's bigger than media, is what Kennedy was expressing.
And that's when he starts taking on, adopting that attitude.
And he doesn't know he's being changed by the satellite. Well, he doesn't know that.
Yeah, I know, but I wonder if, because he made a conscious change in his, he said he's trying on different personalities.
Like Dylan.
Yeah. So he may be Manipian. He may, you know, like you reacted to his apparent arrogance as an individual, you know, as a macho man or whatever he's putting out.
Right.
But he may be putting that on.
He's an actor.
No, he's not. That is genuine from the very get-go through his whole career is about propping up his ego to be significant. And now who's buying his books, etc.? He's luckily they're in text and maybe some class in some college will bring him up, or else he'll disappear from the specter and he's turning over in his grave. That's all he cares about.
Well, that may be true, yeah. But it's maybe you have to think that he's a media sophisticated guy and he might bring in other factors. He likes to present himself in interviews as an understanding, nice person, and so he's got better ways to cover his ego. And that may be true that he's ego, but that's, you're not looking at the complexity of what he is. He is learning how to be an actor in the media. And he says, okay, if the women are going to take over, I'm going to be a Wyndham Lewis and environment and retrieve the male meme as an act.
But
he's not like that. This is all in the media.
Are you saying that personally he's not like that?
Well, I knew him. Yeah, he's a pretty nice person. If you think he's a nice guy, you're with him personally.
When he wrote the book Advertisements for Myself, he did that consciously.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He was setting up an anti-environment to what he thought was 50s conformity and the hypocrisy of everybody saying, no, I'm a writer genius and I got to be humble.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be... No.
Arrogant. I'm going to be a writer genius and be arrogant.
As an anti-environment. He had a rationale for it.
What he thought, but the arrogance is obviously there because then people are going to attack him for it and he wants that because he does feel that he is, you know, like this.
Well, like McClellan said, the artist wants to get attention. He believes he should get attention because he's got a message.
Mm-hmm.
So he's figured out a role for himself in becoming global theater.
Very true. That's all it is.
And so here's what's interesting. Every few years something happens and he has to reassess what he's doing. And then he invents a new rationale for what he's doing. He's going through the phases of my chart, responding, but he's one step behind McLuhan. McLuhan knows what he's doing before he gets upset. He's getting upset by the new all the time and then develops an anti-environment to it. And that is pretty articulate what he does, but he never gets to the McLuhan level of anticipating what's coming.
Yeah, sure.
He gets upset, but at least he's responding Like that age, because he's to the president.
But isn't he only responding to him trying to save his validity in the environment? It has nothing to do with this, you know. So he comes out, and what does he do?
Well, he ain't me, okay? He ain't me.
I know. Right? So he comes out and
he's a tiny artist compared to me, right? We agree on that. Right. So we don't need to complain about him. I'm being generous and putting up with his view.
I'm not. And so I'm not being generous with it.
You're hoisting. Are you hoisting me up as something to compare to?
I was only talking about males. You brought up you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think I should be brought up, and I think you need to. You have no way to criticize him unless you have my information.
I can criticize him completely.
Well, then you're bringing your subjectivity.
No. Objectively, I can sit there and say that his whole motivation and the way that he creates an anti-environment is to attack. Is to attack those like and to not take responsibility. In this, he's not taking responsibility whatsoever. He attacks society. Mm-hmm. He attacks society and says, "Oh, look, now there's going to be fascism." Sits there and does the deflection. Deflect from me, you know.
Here's what I'm saying. I agree with you completely on that level, but I'm not going to get distracted by it. I'm trying to use this to get into. Impersonal perceptions.
As an artist, he's masterful at putting on. As an artist, he's masterful at putting on these personas. Right. But then he gets so involved or engrossed in, because, like he said, you know, there was a point where he made a decision to separate himself out from his publishers and all that milieu, and he got in touch with this rage within himself. Mm-hmm. He decided he was going to start acting that out. Mm-hmm. So he started getting into bar fights and stuff because he made a conscious choice. I'm going to go this way with my personality.
And then he ends up stabbing his wife.
But he ends up stabbing his wife, at which point he realized, I've gone too far. I don't even know what I'm doing. So then he had to reinvent himself again.
Yeah, and he reinvents around the Kennedy image. He says, somebody can do something. So then he becomes an activist, Andy Warren and all that. And then after Chicago, he says, oh, that didn't lead anywhere. Now he's got to develop a new strategy. He takes McLuhan's idea. I'm going to try to understand and impart understanding rather than being in the fight about what's going on, right? And then he encounters, then Women's Lib throws him off there. On that, I guess. I mean, it's around the same time. Then he's nowhere again. And then he does the Gary Gilmore, which leads to another problem, which we're just watching right now. He's always slipping on the banana skin of his new role.
Right.
So is Dylan. Maybe Zappa was a little more conscious than Dylan or Mailer. And McLuhan was the most conscious of them all. So you're reacting, we can tolerate a little bit of personal outrage at the guy. I can understand that.
No, I just disagree with the idea.
But we're not agreeing or disagreeing with him. We're using him as material to process larger pattern recognition here.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that even within the pattern recognition of how he is, you know, evolving and you know, when flipping stuff, his motivation to that has nothing to do with the understanding about the environment. No, McLuhan.
Well, that's what's interesting. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
What's interesting to watch how he avoids all that. But I don't get into saying he's got an ego.
But that's what stops him from recognizing things greater than himself.
I don't know. See, it might be an astrological sign. It might be his nutrition. You know, ego is a nebulous thing. Everybody's got an ego.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
It's just lack of it. It's just cultural conditioning that's doing it. He thinks he's an American. He's a writer. He's totally conditioned by the print medium. So it's not his ego, which is actually, in our terms, a product of the printing press. It is the printing press that we're hearing speak here.
Sure.
He is miming the meme and the objections and services of the hopes of the print meme within the Android meme.
He did say in the beginning that he was most detached and apparently, I would infer, objective when he was a young man in the South Pacific. Yeah. And that by this time he says, I think I've lost some of that detachment or objectivity.
Yeah, because he's in it. He made himself the center of that. He's always wanted to be the center of it. And now he doesn't know what he's gotten himself into because not all love and flowers are coming to him. And, you know, and these men haters and all this stuff.
And look how he became detached in the South Pacific. He was imagining himself being a writer. So he took the visual detached perspective of the isolated ego, or visual ego. So he acted that out, and then he actually got it, and then he didn't know what to do, and then he worked in Hollywood, and he did all these different things, responding to the newer demands, and in other words, his novelistic perspective was obsolete. The thing that made him be detached led him into the book world, which then did a banana skin on him because he became famous before he could handle it. Then he did all this other stuff as a Marxist writer, and then the very stage we're going through. He's not relying on the literate thing. He's past the literate perspective, but he's still trying to retrieve something for the book. So he was formed by that, formed by the meme. It's the meme of perspective and detachment that he's citing when he talks about how he had it in South Pacific. Hmm. And then he becomes what he became. He becomes the written medium. And he's trying to say it's the most important or very important role. And it does in the media ecology of cultures, our business, and the Android meme. And every culture, Todd Haynes, Normay, or Frank, name anybody. What do they got? They got, who is it today? Moby? Moby, great musician, right? Yeah, the Android himself gives them Oscars and everything. They just recycle these things. They're memes. Sure. The real music and the real painting, the real sculpture and the real movie and the real TV show is what I'm doing. That's the real movie.
So if you take him and he sits there and every time he does something wrong, he like bows and deflects, etc. Then you take Bush, he does something wrong and he's like, yeah, and I'll do it again.
Yeah, because that's a later phase. This is Mailer talking about, that's 1981. It's 1,000 years later in 2002.
Right.
You got a different world and a different response by the Western ego.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's Bush.
It's very interesting. Okay.
So, you know, just a side thing, Mary McLuhan was talking to me the other night, and she talked about how Eric, her brother, said that their father was a fraud and a fake. Now, I don't know what Eric meant by that.
What? Eric said that about you?
About his father.
Marshall?
Yeah, but see, you're taking it literally. The point is, Mary took it literally and thought it was disgusting. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't think she said to Eric, she said to me, my father was an actor. And I said, wait a minute, Mary, are you saying that he's an actor? Yes. I said, congratulations, Mary, you're the second person to realize that. I've been saying that for years. He was the greatest actor of the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. She goes, yeah. And then I was getting her, she had never heard anybody say that to her, mm-hmm. including her brother, though Eric may have meant that when he said fake fraud, and she took it cold personally.
Right.
Anyway, the point is, I hadn't met many people, I had met nobody who realized McLuhan was a great actor. Mm-hmm. And so I said this, and she got excited that someone else understood it, so we went in and masturbated on the idea and celebrated that we understood this.
Right.
Then I said, can you imagine average people, they think actors are like Brad Pitt or can do different characters. They think in the movie medium is acting. They don't know about the Android meme and how you act with the Android meme. You don't just be a movie actor. You act in all media. You write books claiming to have paradigm shifts and you create new insights and whole masses around the world. That's acting in the global meme.
Yeah, I mean, regular people act. You act differently at home than you do in the office.
Right, but you know how people mean by an actor.
Yeah.
And so I said to Mary, I remember in the 70s, there was these Italian students came over. And they had spent the day with McLuhan. I talked to him later at night. And they were saying, I don't know how it happened, that they got together with McLuhan and they started reading, acting out a little play, reading scripts or something. And they said he was terrible. He couldn't read the lines right. He was a terrible actor. Mm-hmm. Now that's how normal people see. An actor is a guy who can do this little fake thing.
Sure.
Within a play framework or a movie. They think that's what an actor is. But I'm saying no, an actor in response to Android meme in terms of the long distance run, becoming a tremendous actor, is do what McLuhan did. And then I said to Mary, and since I'm the only one who knows that and have known it for many years, I'm now the greatest actor of our time in this tradition. So I went on about that. But I just want to say...
Yeah, but since you're relatively obscure...
No, I'm not obscure.
There could be hundreds of you out there that none of us know about.
There are hundreds of us. I mean, in the sense there's other people. You don't know what other shows I'm on. You don't know what other people I'm doing in other shows. I haven't told you, right? And they can be shows in secret networks.
There may be 1,000 other chemical bodies out there doing what you're doing, and we wouldn't know it because they're all obscure, just like you.
No, I'm not obscure. I'm known on the internet. I got a website. There are people attempting to be some parts of me, but they're not doing the whole thing. They're not covering the whole range of what we do.
But actors, if you're looking at the craft of an actor, it is a conduit that effectively takes text and translated through the chemical body. I mean, that's really what it is. So actor is not, you know, fiction. It's, you know, it's, so...
Right. Are they doing it anymore? No.
Everybody's doing it. Everybody acts.
No, but even in America, that's in general terms. American Idol is people who haven't been trained accomplishing some kind of acting, karaoke maybe, on a big scale.
Yes.
The point is, the definition of any specialist activity, from economist to actor, are blurred now, and anybody can be part of that in different ground rules. So acting is not what it used to be.
Right.
Sure. So then if you're in a world that knows that's going to happen 50 years ago, you start acting on other levels, anticipating the new blurred boundaries. Mm-hmm. That's why I say McLuhan's a physicist, a chemist, a sociologist, an artist, a priest, a teacher, a politician, an intelligence agent, and an actor. Mm-hmm. Less than a bunch of other ones. He's got it all covered. Right. As Joyce explains in Finnegan's Wake. It's a way of translating Finnegan's Wake.
Okay.
So that's another thing we're demanding here in this paramedia yoga, perceiving what I'm talking about.
Right.
That is a solution. Mm-hmm. Perception of it.
Well, there's this thing where you say LaRouche is a scientist, you know, and he's got the hypothesis of the higher hypothesis.
Yeah, he's specialized.
He's got all this great stuff worked out, and he's a physicist and an economist, and
he's quite competent.
His school has not produced any breakthroughs in physics.
Right, because he isn't as comprehensive as McLuhan. He does not act in the media. He acts within certain industrial contexts.
Yeah, but in that area, he hasn't broken through any. To fusion or any of these.
He's inspired young people. They may be brainwashed, but he's got a cult movement. He leaped to the next generations.
But I think that's because the very foundational ideas he's been talking about haven't been done yet. So until those are done, he's the one to talk about, you know, Willie, you know, down the line until the very simple nuclear comes back. I mean, they've been pushing nuclear for so long, and so... You know, he's waiting for that to happen.
And cold fusion.
Yeah, he's been talking
but he's not going into the library and creating his own breakthroughs, as is cold fusion. As he's no Pons and Fleischmann. He's not a physicist. He's not...
He says he has the principles. If more and more people follow them, like Pons and Fleischmann did, unconsciously, they didn't know they were doing LaRouche, but he says if they follow his principles, we get more Pons and Fleischmann.
How come he isn't a Pons and Fleischmann?
He says he doesn't think that way. He's more of a coach...
Yeah, exactly.
And representing a tradition. But, you know, you could ask him, why aren't you inventing these things? Maybe he said, well, I did. I don't know what he would say. That question isn't asked of him too much. It's a good question to ask him.
Oh, well, you see everything he writes about. I mean, you know, he repeats himself. He's not there to be...
Yeah, and he repeats himself.
That's because everything he's been saying for 50 years hasn't happened. That's why you have to repeat yourself.
Yeah.
Everybody repeats themselves. Because it hasn't happened, or it's even.
Well, I don't have to repeat myself. I do sometimes, but a lot of what I said did happen.
Well,
including the jaw.
Oh yeah, well yeah.
Jaw thing.
But repeat yourself because it's like a refresher. Because it's like, look, it's
There's no set.
It wasn't a good parallel from you because your stuff is live and his is kind of in the closet waiting.
Yeah, but he does have broadcasts, press conferences all the time.
Yeah, he does
more than I do, but the. What was it we just saying?
I'm going to bed.